Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another interview for Technology Uncorked. My name is Jeff Quattromani, and today we have somebody on the show who I've known for quite a while. Coming into the tech industry as a tech commentator, I guess, doing YouTube videos when I was much, much younger, had my own little blog, and you know, going to my first few tech events, Charlie was somebody that everybody knew. Charlie Brown is probably, you know, Australia's most well-known tech commentator. And, you know, when you ask somebody as small as I was, certainly at the time, he was one of the most welcoming and polite of all of them. And, you know, it is daunting when you step into those rooms, you get this imposter syndrome and you see people like Charlie and others. And he's probably the first guy which actually says g'day and introduces himself. Charlie is the man behind CyberShack, and whether you've heard him on radio, seen him on TV, Facebook live shows, and so much more, he's one of Australia's probably most popular tech commentators. Now, the reason we've got him on the show isn't to talk so much about that side of his life. I actually wanted to talk to him about a company that he started. Now, somebody who's in the tech game and they have a tech problem can probably tell you what solution you need. But when that solution doesn't exist, he went and found it and built it, and is now selling the solution to the problem that he had. And that was having a smartphone that was suitable for his young kids. And it's a company called Jimmy. And we're going to ask a lot of those questions because for me, I wanted to know a lot about how you actually go from having an idea to then having a product that's now available online and in Australia Post stores. So ladies and gentlemen, please welcome none other than Charlie Brown. Charlie, you've become a bit of a household name when it comes to tech experts being seen on TV, heard on radio, running a website and more. Tell me, how did you get into this field to begin with?
I requested a song on a radio station called The Edge 96.1 in 1998. And he was working for the radio station that had just bought that station. And I said, got talking to the presenter and he asked me what I did. And at the time I was right into technology and the internet and stuff. He said, you should come on and chat to the breakfast team and see if there's some, you know, a segment that you can do with them, because it was a youth focused show. And so I started doing that, and it was my job. I went from flipping burgers at restaurants and that kind of thing, because I was still at uni at the time, doing that job. And it was a much better job, a much more exciting job. And we work in a radio station. They'd send you to concerts and all that kind of stuff, right? It was a lot of fun. I got to go on radio and talk about technology and be part of this whole sort of media vibe. And then things just sort of grew agnostically from there. I wasn't content on just being on one radio station. I wanted to be on all of them, and I wanted to be on TV and all that stuff. So the business just sort of built up from there.
It's pretty amazing. And I mean, obviously a lot of people would hear you on 2GB and other stations where you do talkback. Any memorable calls that you could share or think of at the moment?
I think the one that was most interesting was when Kerri-Anne Kennelly rang in, and because what happened with Kerri-Anne, obviously her husband John had that terrible accident, and you know, I knew Kerri-Anne from working with her on TV, and she had rung me and said, look, can you come over to the hospital and set up John's streaming TV? And I said, no worries, like, because she was at he was at Royal North Shore Hospital, and I was our office was at St Leonard's at the time, so I popped over and I'm doing this and doing that, and then I went. And when he moved home, I went around and we set up in support with his son. He actually did a lot of the legwork. I sort of just brought the equipment and said, this is how you do this. Set up a voice control solution. So John, who was then talking and in his wheelchair, could then use voice to do a whole bunch of things that he wanted to do in the home. But then one day, Kerri-Anne rang in and said, look, I just want to say thank you. And, you know, I mean, you know what this job is like, right? You do all this, spend all this time, you help all these different people. You don't actually ever expect to be told thank you. But then somebody rings in and says that and tells you how your effort affected them and provided them assistance. And sometimes it's either even gone further. Sometimes it's life-changing, right? We had – it's not so often calls. It's the card or the letter after the call. And you get these people who say, you've changed my life. And you think when you're doing this radio show, you're just doing a radio show. You do it because you love it and all that. But then you have those moments where you really think, I love my job. I really love it. And that's kind of those moments. So it's less calls. It's most you take the call and then you take another call and then and one sort of bleeds into the next one, right? You don't spend too much thinking about the last time, the last call that you just had most of the time. But then you get that follow-up a month later, 2 months later, where somebody actually puts down in writing what it is you've done, or someone like CAC rings back, you know, months later and says, I just wanted to say thanks. And you really realize that you have the opportunity to help people.
How good is that? And then based on all the calls that you would have received over the years and the people you've helped, is that how you managed to identify the gap in the mobile market where, you know, you've effectively now started your own company?
No. The gap came from my wife, Rachel. So she and I love music, and we've always loved music, and we've always used music. And this sort of goes back to why I was so keen to work for an FM radio station in Sydney in my 20s. We've always used music as a mechanism to help set the mood in the home, for mindfulness and energy and just chilling out and all that stuff. And then Rachel said to me one day, because we've got three daughters, and she said to me, look, I want our kids to be able to listen to music. I listened to music in my bedroom as a kid. I loved it. They can't listen to music because music is app-based today. And we're not going to give them, partly because me as a tech guy wouldn't, but also Rachel was on board with this as well, we're not going to give them a smart device because it's got a camera on it and the parental controls are either too difficult or there are ways around them. And I'm not comfortable with them having a smartphone in their room because it's a smartphone and they're not old enough. She said, go find me the device that is kind of an iPod, but no camera. And also a device which I can give to a five-year-old. And if that five-year-old breaks it, I'm not down $300 or whatever the cost of an iPod is these days. And I said, okay, that's fine. No worries. And I started the journey on, you know, went to Harvey Norman and JB Hi-Fi and those guys, nothing there. And I kept going. And I remember I ended up on Alibaba.com, right? I was prepared to buy 50 of these things if it was the right option. It just didn't exist. And I went back to Rachel and said, look, I failed. It doesn't exist. And Rachel said point blankly, all right, well, you're the tech guy. Off you go. Go make one.
Yeah.
So that's where the story started.
Just a small challenge there. I mean, look, just go make one. And it's not like you can just build one in the back shed. I mean, you've got this idea. You have an idea of what you want it to look like or how you want it to work with not having a camera and things like that. But then what? Do you just ring a factory in China and say, look, can we have a conversation about building something?
I'm privileged because for the last 20 years, I've been helping a lot of people who work in the technology industry to promote their stuff. And I promote it without fear or favor. If it's good, it's good. If it's not good, it's not good. Like we're all on that page. The thing with what happened at the start of the journey for Jimmy was that I went and spoke to a few selective people and I was absolutely blown away at the amount of energy that I received in return from all the people that I engaged with, in the form of their intent to support me with this project. It was really quite interesting. And everybody was saying, listen, you've helped us. Like, you know, you have helped us so much. Let us do this little thing for you. And I ended up, I've got amazing friends and I'll probably write about them one day and put them in a book, I'm sure. But I was very quickly talking to a consultant in Malaysia that I got put in touch with by a friend who's worked in Europe and created tech, and he's very, very successful guy. He's an interesting story in himself, but ended up talking to this guy in Malaysia. He put me in touch with a factory in China, started talking to this factory in China, and started looking at, first and foremost, just getting a bunch of prototypes put together. There was no intent, Jeff, to even go commercial. It was, okay, I'll buy three prototypes, and then my family is set, life will continue. But what invariably happened was that my kids got excited, and as these prototypes sort of arrived and they started playing with them, they started showing them to their friends, and their friends told their parents, and their parents came and tapped me on the shoulder at Saturday morning sport and said, look, that prototype that we hear you've got, how do we get one of those? And I can't even remember the amount. It was 50 or 100 different requests. And I went back to Rachel and looked and said, there's something in this. We've really, what we want for our kids is being mirrored by parents all across the country. And I reckon it's actually going to be mirrored by parents all across the world, and no one's doing it. So we probably have an obligation to, for so many different reasons, whether it works or not. And we had no idea whether there would be as much interest in this in the early days as we've had. But we thought, look, we owe it to kids coming through to give this a go so that they can experience joy but safety in using smart devices.
And safety is one of the big ones there, because, you know, beyond the device of just not having a physical camera on there, you've also done quite a bit with the software too. And you know, people can go and get any other Android phone and dump it on their kids. But what you've done with the software is also quite smart as well for parents.
Yeah. So the rule was, as a parent, we believe parents can give kids, need to give kids a managed choice environment. So you could have Spotify, for example, but nothing else on the Jimmy Plus, which is our smart player that we call it, right? And you could say to the kids, okay, and this has to be able to be done in 30 seconds by the parent, because as you and I both know, the bulk of people that live in Australia today, and I would suspect this is correct across the world, aren't technology experts, and they don't want to be. So it had to be set up in 30 seconds. Quickly and easily. But it also was a decision point. You get this app, but you don't get that app. Now, in terms of going further than that, at this stage, that's where we're at. We might go further one day and have whitelist, blacklist filtering on a browser, for example, and all that. But you know what, for what we wanted and for what most of the parents that we spoke to wanted, they said, you know what, I agree. I want them to have Spotify. I don't want them to have YouTube, and I don't want them to have email, and I don't want them to have access to the Play Store to install new apps. In fact, I don't want them to have access to settings so that they can go and tweak all of the stuff on the device. In fact, I want to be able to stop any of that and have this player, this Jimmy device player, just playing these two or three functions. And so by having an app lock, by having a PIN code for each app that you could set or unset as the parent, it gave you a far more control, and it was simple for parents to actually set up and use.
It is incredible. And for those who haven't seen it, I've been lucky enough to at least pick one up and play with them. It's so simple to use. It's one of those things you can set up once, probably give it to your kids and not really need to get it back unless you choose to make changes to it. And I don't think the experience is hampered by that, because if you've educated your kids, you've had the conversation about what they are and aren't allowed to do, the conversation's already taken place. You're just putting that into the phone. So it's not actually even in front of them, even if they think they're not supposed to access those apps. You just hide it away and it's gone. It makes it simple. Now, Charlie, you've then gone to market and you've got manufacturing sorted, things like that. A lot of those challenges are in some ways overcome. But now you've also managed to get this into Australia Post stores. That's a pretty big milestone in itself, right?
So, well, they're a great bunch of guys, firstly, because, you know, they were open to taking a punt. And a lot of people don't recognize, I guess, Australia Post as being your first choice in getting a smart device. But the thing about them is they have national coverage. And they're in all the little towns, and people frequent Australia Post stores on a regular basis because they're doing their posting or they're paying a bill or they're doing all those functions. Yeah. And by putting our smartphone, Jimmy Connect, is in Australia Post, and it's given people who don't shop online the opportunity to purchase. And we received all the way since the start of the of releasing product for sale that there are people on in Australia, and I'm sure the latest figures tell a deeper story, but there are people out there who don't want to buy online. They actually want to buy from a store. And yeah. So by jumping into those with those guys, it gave us a good starting point for working at retail, because not only were we in retail, we were now working with retail and learning about working with retail as well. And as a startup, I've worked with retailers before. I mean, one of our sponsors on our TV and radio show is obviously Harvey Norman. We do a lot of stuff with those guys, but I've never worked with them from a vendor perspective, and it's given us the opportunity to experience what that's like.
It is incredible. And look, I'll be honest, for me, especially throughout COVID, I think I've gone to the post office more than I've gone to other places to pick up packages that I've missed deliveries for and things like that. So people will see them, you know, while they're waiting in line to at least pick up their parcels. And when you think about COVID, Charlie, how much of an impact has it had on the business, whether it's from a supply chain point of view or others?
Oh, my God. It's put it this way. If I was ever going to start a business, I would not start it at the start of a global viral pandemic ever again. Like ever, ever. Like it was literally, I remember, like, I mean, we saw each other at CES in 2020, right? And yeah. we were doing all that content together, and then what I didn't tell anyone was I jumped on a plane, got back to Sydney, and then a day later was in, flew up to Hong Kong and went up to Shenzhen. Mm. And I was sitting there at this table with the factory guys, the management around, and there were all these guys sitting there, a lot more than I'd been speaking to, and they were talking as if this was kind of like the Last Supper, right? This was January 15, and I've arrived going, hey, guys, so we were ready to go then. We were actually expecting Jimmy Plus pallets to be ready to be signed off, and we were expecting Jimmy Connect to be going into the production run, and so that it would be, you know, however many weeks after then that assembly would be completed. Yeah. And they hadn't done anything, and I was sitting there going, so guys, what's going on? You got nothing here. I mean, and they were all sitting around as if it was the Last Supper. Wow. And that's when I learned, and they told me quite directly that there was a virus in the northern part of China, and they weren't going to be seeing me for a very long time, and it was affecting all of the supply chains and they went through it with me, and I was there going, we haven't even sold a device. Yeah. We've gone on a current affair with Lauren Goldman, who we both know, and talked about this thing, and it's coming, and we're flipping open pre-orders and all, and you guys are telling, and so basically on the plane home, usually I sleep. I sat awake the entire time and just strategized. Again, nothing was closed. Everything was open. It was the middle of January, but I strategized the entire change to the business we were going to have to do based on nothing being certain. And that was where we started. We went and said, okay, nothing's certain. Where do we go from here? And off we went. We're only in the end about 6 weeks late with Jimmy Plus, our smart player, and we were about 2.5 months late with Jimmy Connect, our smartphone.
And I still think that for a lot of parents, COVID has actually given them a good reason to put a phone like that in their hands, because, you know, if they're spending more time at home because they're not at school, they've now got a device that they can be staring at or using since they're all stuck at home.
Well, we've had all those conversations. We've had lots of conversations with the mindfulness people and the you know, Smiling Minds and those guys about how we can better support kids through this pandemic by making the right content more available to them. And we've got parents who have bought Jimmy Plus for their kids, and they're using it to run apps like Smiling Mind and those kind and playlists which are all focused on mindfulness for their kids to get through the challenges that they're having. But also on the other side, as soon as lockdown opened up, parents wanted to kick the kids out of the house and stay connected with them. And we called Jimmy Connect because we wanted families to be able to be connected when the kids weren't at home, and we wanted kids to be able to go, you know, walk the dog and go to the skate park and ride their bikes to their friend's house, and we wanted them to be able to do it in a manner which was affordable. It was a phone. It offered you some functionality. It didn't offer you everything, but like when you're 12 or 10, you don't need everything, not in our view anyway. And so by even how we just wanted parents to know that they could. They had that choice. They didn't have to buy it, but they had that choice that if the things that were important to me and Rachel and also many, many other families was important to them, then they've got an option.
I like it. And then thinking about customer feedback, because you've obviously had a fair few units go out now, anything that surprised you or you think, geez, I didn't think of that. It's been interesting what people have noticed.
If I had written a dossier on what I thought the feedback was going to be and compared it to what the feedback was, it wouldn't have been close. It's really good being able to sell off your own website and have that direct feedback to customers because you learn and you learn quickly and you learn without having the message filtered through, through a retailer, distributor, those kinds of things. The parents just tell you directly and it's fantastic. And we've had parents send us cards saying, my son is now confident enough to catch the bus to school on his own because he can connect with me. Your device solved that. And then we've gone all the way into the other direction of your device isn't strong enough. It's not doing what running the accessory my 12-year-old wants to run. We've got to return it. We take it all in, Jeff. Nothing bad here. This is our first device, and exactly. I'm already baking the first quarter of 2022, right? Like as a startup, that's where we're already thinking. Where are we going to be in a year? All of this stuff that comes in helps us to do a better product and service for our customers in the future. And we've got some cool stuff coming, mate. You have not seen anything yet.
Well, this is the thing. You've got your foot in the door. You're starting to build the brand. You're now getting devices into people's hands as well. I mean, it's just the beginning. And, you know, you don't hear of many new smartphone companies coming to market except this one. And so for me, it's just extremely exciting to see where you'll take it, mate. It's amazing. And obviously, you know, being homegrown as well, it's also a nice story as well. So, Charlie, I think it's amazing. And obviously, we're all right behind you in terms of the success of Jimmy as well. But, mate, the rest of the questions I've got for you are actually about yourself.
Yep.
Not about the brand anymore. It's about you, and they're usually short and sharp. Mate, what's your favorite app to keep you organized? You're kind of busy.
I love public transport. I have an app called TripView. Mm-hmm. That means I can catch the bus or the train, and I don't need to run for it because I know exactly where they are and when it's next getting to my station. That's probably my favorite app.
Love it. And what's your favorite social media app?
I use Twitter, but I'm not a big social media fan at all. I don't share much of my life at all. I share work. And as a family, we share work, but we don't share personal stuff generally. But Twitter is probably my favorite social media.
Fair call. And when you do get 5 minutes to spare between meetings and things like that, what's the first thing that you want to do on your phone?
Turn it off, to be honest. I put it away. I put it away and I started about a year and a half ago playing a guitar. And I tell you what, if you want to be able to disconnect from the stress of what you're thinking about, start playing a musical instrument because there's nothing else you can think about while you're training yourself to use that other than playing the instrument, and you just have those 5 to 10 minute mindfulness breaks. So get away from your phone as much as you can.
Yeah, look, it's something I'm trying to do a bit more of as well. And mate, do you wear a smartwatch or a traditional timepiece?
I wear a smartwatch. I've got a Fitbit Versa 2 and I wear it because I only have to charge it once a week. If I had to charge it daily, it would just do my head in. I don't know how anyone else wears a watch that's just sort of a 12, 24-hour cycle, but it's good and it helps me with stress, maintaining my health and all those kinds of things. It's good enough not to have to go to the Versa 3, but by doing all the stuff that I want to do, it's a good piece of kit.
And when we used to jump on planes, would you use the in-flight entertainment system or bring your own device?
I used the in-flight entertainment system until I started flying so much that I'd seen all the movies, and then I brought a tablet as well with pre-downloaded movies and shows.
Fair call. And what do you love to do to disconnect? I'm thinking about guitar already, but is there anything else you love to do to get away from it all?
What do I do to disconnect? I play with my kids. I exercise. I like to go away on holidays. I mean, you saw the tweet from where we were in Orange during CES week, right? I love to just grab the family and say, we're out, we're gone. And when you're working it's 5.5 days a week with radio on Saturday mornings, you just love to leave everything as often as you can.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And look, the show is called Technology Uncorked, and we do our interview episodes on a Tuesday, and on Thursday we do our news and reviews, and I usually do that episode over a glass of wine. And Charlie, if you and I were sitting down together for a drink, what would be your go-to?
I like a good Shiraz. I like a good Shiraz, but I'm not much of a picker in terms of the best wine, which is actually why I follow people like you who know a lot more about it than I do. And so, yeah, I start with a Shiraz and take recommendations from others.
Mate, I think it was 3 or so years ago that you asked me for a bit of a list. And I remember just spending time really thinking about a list and crafting out my favorites and sending it over to you. So I'm hoping at some point that came in handy.
It did. Send over another one because it needs to be, the cellar needs to be restocked.
Charlie, mate, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. And again, all the best with Jimmy.
Thanks for your support, Jeff. Great to have a chat.